Blog Talk Radio.
You know it's all about the power!
That's right. The FTW Future Focus is back. I am your host, Mastermind Bob Rogers. With me is co-host Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's going on?
Not too much, dude. How you feeling?
Dude, I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling. It's been a good day. It's been a good day.
Been a good day. It's been a good weekend. I'm in banking, so this I've got tomorrow off, too.
Oh, yeah, y'all do. You lucky.
Oh, man, I'm enjoying this. I'm going to go to my old store just to mess with them because they all got to work.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Let me get to see them all soon again. Okay, I haven't seen them in a couple months, though. So.
Right. That's cool. Well, I got some subjects up there, but it's some other subjects that came up that kind of twisted my brain. I do want to speak on Dynamite real quick, and this will go into the first issue that I wanted to discuss, but Dynamite to me was awesome. I enjoyed it. I don't understand why so many people are complaining about the Wardlow CM Punk match.
And it's funny because I feel the same way. I enjoyed Dynamite. I thought it was a really, really, really good show from beginning to end. I actually liked how they did the show. But, I heard people dumping on it.
I am totally confused on if you are a wrestling fan, okay, and you have been around the block. You have seen the Dusty Rhodes. You have seen the Ricky Steamboats. You have seen the Ric Flairs in action, even the older Ric Flair. I mean, even if you watch Kevin Nash, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, if you want to go there, you could even put Brock Lesnar, which makes me want to puke, but Brock Lesnar in that subject. And you would understand Wardlow's match.
Yeah.
To me, he was, to me, basically, Wardlow was Lesnar, and Punk was a more competitive Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you can get why Kofi Kingston
lost. And then you just add in, but then you add in the MJF factor, which I just thought added to that. Like, everybody know Punk,
right.
Punk was beat. But that just kept, I mean, in my opinion, they were kind of crapping on how it went, but I just thought it added to the whole storyline because, it added to the CM Punk MJF feud. Because now it's like, okay, now we're going to throw Sean Spears at you next. His assistant work. But you also build in that tension between Warlord and MJF. Like, you're telling multiple stories in this.
And I am shocked that people are not getting it. How are they not getting it? I mean, it's obvious. CM Punk going there. And we're not trying to be the WWE. You know what I'm saying? AEW is trying to be AEW. So they're going to be even more old school and more know this big dude with all these muscles and stuff. It's going to beat him because CM Punk is, 215 soaking wet. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got Wardlow at 300 pounds of muscle. And you did not expect that to happen.
It's one of those things where if WWE booked match, CM Punk would be booked to win. I think they did it in a way that's believable because realistically, CM Punk should not be winning that match.
No. No. He should still show his heart.
At least 2022 CM Punk.
Right. But he did the right thing by showing his heart like he did. He's not going to give up. He's going to keep trying to fight. But at the same time, what did you expect? I mean, CM Punk to pick up Wardlow and put him in a go to sleep? Really?
Yeah,
and he can't even reach up to his chin. I mean, seriously, think about it. His knee cannot reach to his chin. How is he going to put him to sleep?
Yeah.
And then if you try to use the Anaconda Vice, how can you use the Anaconda Vice when Wardlow's upper body is about big as his thigh?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His arms is about big as his thigh. So you can't put the Anaconda Vice on him either. You should have known that was going to happen. And I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. They flipped
it. And it's
on
funny because I went to that match. I was expecting a screwy finish to it, though, because I'm just like, you can't have him, like you said, he can't be able to Anaconda Vice. He can't hit him with the go to sleep. I don't think it's going to be like a DQ count out win for Punk. Like, and I like how they did it.
I loved how they did it. It was awesome. It told a story. It kept everything.
And then I was like you when I started hearing all this like bad mouthing. I was just like, I'll watch the match again.
Yeah, I
seemed like, what did? Exactly.
Okay, so at least I can say that I know now that it was not just me. Okay.
I think it's the fans who. Everybody wants something different in WWE. They want, like, different storytelling. They want different booking. Everybody keep talking about they want this, they want that, and when they get it, they don't want it.
Yep. Yeah, you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. I'm kind of disappointed. I think that's the proper word for it. I'm kind of disappointed at the wrestling community right now, because they should be able to get that. And have we gone so far into, I mean, the Grouch, I like Omega, but I don't think he's all that. You know what I'm saying? Until he comes with that serious cleaner gimmick and stop all this goofy stuff.
Yeah.
I can't stand him.
I mean,
he need to go back to
and
get into
and that's what I was looking
ridiculous.
Forward to when he turned heel. That's what I was looking forward to when he turned heel.
I was hoping. I was really hoping. And I'm like, Omega, what the heck is you doing, dude? No.
Yeah.
You come back with that cleaner gimmick, I'm there. But this goofy stuff that he's doing now, he do need to be kicked in the head. And honestly.
I mean, yeah.
No, honestly, he's going to end up losing his EVP status because the girl division is terrible because of him. I mean, that's his baby, the girls division. I'm sorry. It's stepping up with Jade Cargill, and we'll get to her in a second. It's stepping up with making her as the TBS champ, but at the same time.
But, yeah, but right now you have – you have Britt as a champ. You got Jade Cargill as a secondary champ, which are both good choices. But you have talent you ain't really using the right way, and you're limited on talent. Like, they don't...
And the girls' division, definitely, yeah. Yeah, you do not have good quality talent you can put on TV. Let me say that. The Bunny is ridiculous. And it's not just because of what I told you with Rob, but the Buddy, I gave her mad respect for that match she did with Tay Conti and them with that hardcore. I gave her mad respect on that. I can't say enough, but this was, I think she, that's the only place she could survive in is death matches, because when she does her regular wrestling,
I mean, the deathmatch is mad. I mean, because deathmatches, you can mask a lot of that stuff.
True, yeah.
That he's
that's
weak
true.
On.
That's true. I do agree with that. It's just, oh, I don't know. She gets on my damn nerves. Why in the hell they didn't pick up Rosemary? I don't know. They should have got Rosemary instead of the bunny. yeah, I mean, I'm just being 100. They should have definitely got Rosemary instead of Buddy. You got Ember Moon out there right now.
Yeah.
I forgot she changed her name, but, I mean, what the hell? Why David, you got her? That would have been one of the first ones I would have got is her.
I mean, the crazy thing is you're adding all these guys that WWE's releasing to an overloaded roster, spending all this money on it, whereas some of these women that are available, you can get cheaper. And you're going to actually help the division that needs help.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I understand that they don't want him to go anywhere. They want him to stay there because he's got plans for him. And I see what he's doing. He's being a good guy by letting the contracts expire of the people that he don't want instead of firing them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can respect that. He signed the contract. Just like he expects them to be honor that contract for that amount of time, he's going to honor that contract for that amount of time unless
yeah.
he do something stupid. I give him props for that,
yeah.
100%. So my thing is...
Yeah, he ain't cutting people on December 23rd.
Right. So my thing is, why don't you talk to the talent that you want to have and say, listen, I have this person under contract, all right, but... And I got to go buy a budget, too, even though my dad is over $50 billion or whatever it is, or $5 trillion or whatever he owns. I got to go buy a budget. Dad's getting in my ass. So let's do this. Let me sign you for this minor amount right now where you're not even making any appearances, right? I'm going to talk to the dude that's on there and cut his salary a little bit. Talk to him and negotiate that. That way it balances out. You got them waiting, getting paid a little bit for doing nothing. You can cut this gentleman's salary where he's still on TV and you can honor the contract. And you keep going.
Yeah.
But use that guy that you're cutting in a storyline so he feels like he has accomplished something. Unless he's just terrible, terrible. And then, yeah. But if you got something to do, do a storyline with him and get him out the way.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what they're doing now. They're kind of doing that in a way, but they're not doing it all the way that it should be done. And they're
yeah.
afraid, oh, well, these guys are going to go here. Oh, well, if they do, they do.
I mean, you
they'll
can't,
go there
I mean,
anyway.
Sometimes you can't worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's business. It sucks, but that's just what it is. I don't know. I also heard some other criticism that kind of ticked me off a little bit. All right. We've talked about Jade Cargill, and I love her. Oh, my God, I love her.
Yeah.
Man, she's getting up there with Nia Jax with me. But anyway.
I heard she's doing plus-size modeling now.
I know. Anyway, man, the FCC would
yeah,
have to
exactly.
put his finger on a button. but with Jade, they're sitting up there saying with Jade that she didn't deserve that belt. Ruby Riott should have got that belt. This is another thing I was confused about. Now, I understand everybody likes Ruby. I've done shows with her. I like her, too. But why are you sitting here and you expect her to take a secondary title?
Exactly.
And she's been there. She has an undefeated streak. She has all this. And you wanted Ruby Riott, number one, to take a secondary title. And number two, skip over why?
I mean, why end her streak on the second? Why end Jade Cargill's streak in the finals of a secondary match?
Yeah.
Like you,
I could have said it was a championship match.
I mean, yeah, but you built, like, it was too soon to end the streak. Build us up, though, because when that streak ends, that's going to be a big deal.
Right.
It's done right.
True. But my thing is...
And it set it up perfect, though, because people are like, why are they mad that she lost it? Because it went like it should have. You took the secondary title on Jay, and you're setting up the program of Britt for the main title.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win. I look at it as a win-win for everybody.
And she's going to take the title for Britt.
I can see that. Because it's coming time for her to – and I love Britt, and I think she's been a phenomenal champion, definitely the best champion that they have, though, but it's time.
Oh, yeah. Britt's losing that title to Ruby Soho. And then it's going to be some more stuff. Jade will end up losing the title, and then Jade is going to go after Ruby for the big one.
No,
I can see that rotation.
I can see that, too. I want to see her first. If her streak ends, I want it to end with her going for the big one, though.
Well, I think I know who's going to take the streak. There's somebody that everybody forgets to just sign with them. And if you did the matchup, it would be believable and everything that she could defeat her. And if I'm thinking right and they do right, Dan Lambert could probably be a part of that too.
Okay.
Mercedes Martinez.
That would be believable.
She is the same height, maybe just a bit taller. She has the MMA background.
Yeah.
And I know that's going to, everybody's going to be like, wait a minute. Then a couple of episodes ago, you sit up there and say, well, you're tired of people with MMA backgrounds getting over in wrestling. Okay, yes. But in this case with Mercedes, to me, is more of a wrestler.
But the nice thing is, though, is like, and I think what would make it work is the part that you added in Dan Lambert on that to give it more of that legitimacy. Because Lambert, he's that guy now. In AEW.
Yeah, he is.
As far as the manager, he's a difference maker.
Yeah. He's getting like Heyman.
I'm not gonna say
he's almost getting like Heyman.
I'm not comparing him to Heyman, but he's their Heyman.
Yeah. I'm looking at this dude like, hold on, he's getting better. Hold up. Okay, I can deal with this. He's getting a lot better.
I couldn't stand him. But then I caught myself, like, as much as I can't stand him, he had my attention.
Mm-hmm. He's doing his job.
Yeah. I mean, and it caught me off guard because it was just like, man, I hate this guy, though, but it's like I look forward to his when he's out there, though. Like, when he comes out, yeah, he's doing his job because I can't stand him, though, but he's always in a good segment.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely in a good segment.
And he's bringing the best, and he's bringing a better work out of the baby faces.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? Bobby the Brain Heenan back in the 80s. He always had that heel for that bad guy. So when that baby face could go against him and at the end shine like a star. Bobby the Brain Heenan formula.
Yeah.
But back to Jade, though. I mean, I don't understand how in the world people could get tripped off Jade having that title. Jade is right where she should be.
It's perfect. I mean, especially the way they bring her along. I mean, to me, it's just perfect.
Yeah. I don't think Riho should be getting any more title shots. Well, she could get a shot. She shouldn't win.
I don't hate Riho. Like, you know me, I hate Becky, and I can't stand Bayley either. Like, those women I despise. I don't despise Riho.
Bayley?
But she's not believable to me. I don't hate her.
She's not.
But it's like, you got this little bitty woman who looks like a kid, which is in there with Britt Baker. It's just like, they don't click with me at all. Like, the match don't click with me. Because it's like, I'm looking at her like, you're not on her level.
You know what it looks like to me? A little kid that wanted to show out in front of people because they didn't get their way, they're having a temper tantrum. And mama there is about to whoop that ass. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. And it's like, how did you even become champ? How could you even say champion? You don't even like you should be able to spell champion. You're like, you're about six.
When they put the belt on her, I'm just looking at that entire woman roster like, this is the one you picked? I mean, don't get me wrong. It wasn't the greatest roster. But even on a, not-so-great roster, she was not the shining person in the roster.
No. Now, if they wanted to feature Japanese women to get the Japanese audience, the wrestling audience, remember the girl that came there? I think she ended up fighting Riho, but she was, like, thick, and she had real short hair. She was crazy. That chick was crazy. She was from Japan. And I can't think of her name. God, dog. But she was... She was a bigger girl. And if you want to get that audience, you should have had her as the champion.
If that's what your angle was, yeah.
Trying to fight for the championship. Huh?
Yeah. If that's the angle they were going with, then definitely yes.
Yeah, I could dig that, but they went with Riho becoming, please, no. I was not happy about that at all. But let's give them credit. They are getting better with their stuff. It's not going to grow overnight.
The women, they still have so much work to do in the women's division, but the women's division is like 10 times better than it was like a couple years ago.
Yeah, and that's why I got faith in them. And that's one of the main reasons why I have faith in them, because everybody, this is what kills me of what you're reading on the internet now, where people are saying, oh, well, WWE is the standard bearer, and they're the, more people know about WWE than they do AEW, and it's like, hold on, wait a minute. Ain't WWE/F/WF/WWWWWF/ I don't know how many more you want to go down, been around for like 50, 60 years?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and truth be told, that's why Triple H is in the doghouse, because as long as WWE/F been around, Vince is really pissed that like this brand new company beat NXT, because NXT's a part of WWE and been around forever. That's why he's pissed. They're not supposed to be losing to other people. I don't care which brand it is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of factors that went into that, though. But when you look at it from Vince's stand, I mean, they've been around forever. That's what everybody knows. It's a name they know.
Mm-hmm. My thing is this. I think Vince got pissed because Triple H showed him up. like everybody started looking at him like, hold on. This dude got a I like the way he doing it. He's part of it.
I mean,
was it? It's like, dude, why would you get
mad
about that?
How many times have we heard over the last? How many times have you heard over the last 7 years? When is Vince going to step down and let Triple H run it? How much better than WWE would be when he turns it over to Triple H?
And that ate at him. Well, I heard he and Stephanie having problems, but that's no here nor there. I don't understand why she would even complain. No, I can't say that. That was wrong of me saying that, but I'm sorry. She should get pissed at him about this. If it's something else, okay, but if it's this, man, go make me a sandwich. Go.
In my opinion, she needs to piss at her father. His days are numbered. I mean, granted, he probably thinks he can do this till he's 100, but realistically, the company's going in the direction where, like, fucking Nick Khan's going to be taking over instead of Triple H, and that's going to mess with her, too.
Yeah.
Instead of being mad at Triple H, she should be on his side and be in her daddy's face and like, nah, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody's scared of Vince, including his kids.
Yeah. I think that's why Sean left.
Yeah.
Oh, Shane.
I think so, too. Shane, yeah.
I think that's why Shane left. You don't leave no big company like that. You having all that fun wrestling Kurt Angle and everything. And it ain't for no serious reason.
Especially where, like, you don't have to do as much as the next person to take over it because your last name is McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to agree that that's why he left.
Mm-hmm. And this Nick Khan, I'm trying to figure out where in the hell did he come from?
I have no idea, but they are so they're so high on him. It's just like, and he's not even a wrestling guy. I mean, they're just high on him for like the business and the marketing and his budget cuts and how he's making the organization look so much profitable.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how accurate this rumor is. I'm not sure, like, how much legitimacy is in the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumor I heard, and I think I just like to tell this wishful thinking. I heard the WWE is looking to sell, and The Rock is a potential person to buy it.
Hmm. That would be nice.
It would be nice. The Rock gets the best of both worlds. You got a person who's been in the industry. You got a wrestling guy and you got a corporate guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got the best of both worlds.
That's true. You know, that's definitely a good point. I mean, I don't know if The Rock want to pay his asking price though, because Fox turned down the asking price. You heard about that, didn't you?
Yeah, this is asking a lot. In my opinion, this is asking Attitude Era price.
I don't know what the exact figure was, but
it was. I don't remember the exact figure though, but I remember it was up there though. And I remember when I heard, like, I mean, it was like a super high figure, and I'm just like, I don't know all the details of the money they have coming in though, but I'm just like, from a rating standpoint, like, are you really there?
Hmm. McMahon is greedy. Who would have thought?
Oh, what?
I'm serious. I mean, God, he's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really Vince wanting to be greedy like that? That's shocking.
I think it's a combination of two things. A, he is greedy. I think, but the B part is the fact that, like, I think Vince honestly believes he could probably do this till he's 100.
Yeah.
So in his head, he's probably like, if they want to pay my price, I'll just keep running it.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what I think is going on with that. You hitting it right on the head. I mean, I don't see how he can ask that much money. Where is that much to where he can't? You know what I mean? It wouldn't be something Fox would even want.
But have you ever been in a situation where, like, you, like, logically you kind of need to let something go, but in your heart you don't want to let it go? I think that's where Vince is at, and I think that's why the price is so high, to kind of make him feel better about letting it go.
Right. Yeah, I can see that, too. I can see that.
Like,
too much sentimental value into it.
Man, been doing this for how many years? And as much as we criticize them, as much as we criticize them from being out of touch and being senile and everything, though, but the man in his prime was phenomenal at this, though. Whether you agree with what he did or not, he was phenomenal at it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people give Hulk Hogan credit for saving the wrestling industry, but the Vince McMahon back then, in my opinion, could have done that with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Because that Hulk Hogan gimmick, it's not like it took a lot of skill to...
It didn't take a lot of skill. It was marketing. It was like all the other stuff. It was Vince.
Yes.
So the whole, like, Hogan saved wrestling or Hogan took wrestling to another level? No, Vince did. Because Hulkamania was Vince, was really Vince-a-mania.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan did what Vince told him to do. And you can't tell me Vince couldn't find somebody else to do that.
Exactly.
Because you look at the money that Vince made. He made more money with Stone Cold Steve Austin than he did with Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, so when people just like, wrestling wouldn't be where it's at if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan? No, wrestling wouldn't be where it's at if it wasn't for Vince McMahon.
The old Vince McMahon, let's say.
The old Vince McMahon, yeah.
This new one ain't filling a schoolyard gym. No.
You can make the argument that wrestling would be a hell of a lot better today if Vince wouldn't have his hand in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right now he's like Peyton Manning his final season or Brett Favre or that boxer who his career is over but he just keep fighting like it's it's time to move on, it's a wrap.
Yeah, he does definitely need to move on because that dude. I don't know, man. You got to give him the respect because of what he's done. But it's also time to get real.
Yeah. But he's probably going through a lot of the same stuff that the old wrestlers go through, though. Like, how many wrestlers do you see stick around too long? They just can't walk away.
Yeah.
I love Ric Flair to death. He's my all-time favorite wrestler. I wish his last like 5 to 10 years of wrestling never happened.
I wish he would have become a manager.
Because when you keep doing something too long, like when people question Ric Flair's greatness, they question that based on the last years.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that. Because Vince had him doing some stupid
Wait, Vince had him doing stupid shit. But no, here was the worst part about it. After he retired, he wrestled in TNA, and the matches were god awful. If you don't remember them, that's good, because I wish I didn't.
Yeah, his matches were not up to par. See, but what's so hard with that is, how do you tell a legend like that no?
Yeah.
And you know, the matches are not going to be up to par, he's still going to sell your 10,000-seat arena out.
That's the craziest part about it, because, like, for Impact, the matches was incredibly horrible. But they're doing incredible business because you're booking Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I hate Hogan. Completely despise him. I don't think there's anybody wrestling I hate more than Hogan. But when you book that match with two senior citizens, the hype leading up to it and the promos are going to be phenomenal, because Hogan's good on the mic too. I'm not gonna like shit on his mic skills either though. So both of them got the ability to get you hyped up for it. They both got the ability to get you hyped up for it. They both got the ability to make you believe it's gonna be good and spend your money on it.
And I can't tell it about Hogan. He never did hype me up. Ric Flair.
No, he never hyped me up either, but I like Rock's promos for the entertainment value. As far as hyping me up, there's two people that really hype me up on the mic: Ric Flair and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin in his prime would cut a promo that make you think you're going to go out there and whoop somebody's ass.
You're going to be shocked when I say this. Stone Cold to me was entertaining, but it didn't hype me up.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't. I will say The Rock's hyped me up, and I don't know why, because he would be more of the entertaining one.
Everybody's talking about how great Rock was on the mic, though, but it wasn't really like their promos. It was more like just entertaining, like with the nursery rhymes and the catchphrases. Yeah. I was still like kind of marked out for it. I ain't gonna lie. I never had Rock up there as like, as far as like a pure wrestling promo, he wasn't that guy. Like, Rock wasn't a hard time.
Oh, okay. I can see what you're saying. I can see what you're saying in that aspect. Yeah, Stone Cold was more of that, yeah.
Stone Cold was more old school, where, like, it was, you know, I'm going to whoop your ass promo.
Mm-hmm.
You see 316 on your pager, you know the ass whoop was coming. Man, I started, when pager was out back then, that used to be how I text people. I text 316, you knew to call me.
Wow.
But Rock was perfect for that era and that time, though. And it was a perfect contrast to Stone Cold, too. Like, the way he brought them on was genius. Like, Stone Cold Austin in that era was Vince McMahon at his best, especially considering when you add in the fact that, like, Vince McMahon was incredible on the mic. Vince McMahon was incredible on John Heaton, and Vince McMahon was probably the best heel at that time. And he had all three of them. Him and Rock and Stone Cold. And a good supporting cast. That was Vince at his best.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I miss some days. Oh, I miss some days.
Yeah. How did I know this? Yeah. I got to tell you something off the air. Work is
all
lovely.
Right,
no, I just got a text message from a customer. You're going to die laughing when I tell you this.
Okay.
But I just got the text. I'm glad I did what I did. I prepared for it perfectly. But we was on The Rock. We was on Stone Cold. You got a definite point about the promos. I can't hate on that. I get what you're saying. Dusty Rhodes promo would get me a lot because that he was good. Arn Anderson's.
Yeah.
See, people forget about
Arn
that.
Arn Anderson's promo was a cook. Did you remember AEW, Arn Anderson and Arn Anderson and Cody during the Alistair Beck feud? When you're talking about, like, he would have put a bullet to his head. That promo that he cut on Cody when he was, like, doing real talk with him.
Yeah, yeah.
I still get
he's
it.
He's still talking about he'd be a Glock or something like that.
Yes. That's
the... Yeah, Arn was not playing.
When everybody's like, them two split. Now, I mean, because after that promo, everybody's like, them two are done. He basically called Cody a bitch in a way. Like, in that promo, he basically called him a little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
In an Arn Anderson way.
Why did you even show up for it, dude? Just go.
Right.
I mean, he got you need a week off because you just. I mean, Arn straight clowned at that one. I'm like, dang, okay, dude.
And that's old Arn. That's old man Arn.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine it. I know where he was in his younger days.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Arn could deliver it, boy. It is like, dude.
He is so underrated.
You got Arn right behind him? Ooh.
Yeah.
And
he's so underrated for his,
too.
He's so underrated for his mic skills because of Rick.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely is.
Actually, he's underrated in a lot of categories because of Rick, to be honest with you, though, because he's really underrated for his in-ring skills.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah, he's definitely underrated with that. He's a great singles and tag team wrestler. Man, he's got the technical ability. Oh, go ahead.
Could you have some guys that's like good on singles, good in tag team? The man could do both at a high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my thing is, and what trips me out is, Arn Anderson, if you really think about this, and I don't know why this match never happened, I would have loved to seen the match back in them days of Bret Hart versus Arn Anderson.
I had never even thought about that, but man. Man, yeah. That would have been
that
incredible.
That's a dream match that they let slip.
Yeah.
That's a dream match that they definitely let slip. I mean, that's one match that you sit back now after, you know, because we was younger when we watched them matches. It was like, okay, who were they put in front of us? Let's see what's going to happen, you know. But now since, you know, we've watched it, you know, been involved with the business a sort of way, it's just, it makes you think like, man, that was a match that got away.
Yeah. As great as Vince is and was in his prime, though, man, he has so many opportunities for several different great matches that he just let slip.
Mm-hmm.
That's one, for sure. That WrestleMania where Hogan took on Sid and Flair took on Macho, that was Flair Hogan all day. That should have been Flair Hogan all day.
I'm trying to remember what it did Hogan didn't want to fight Flair.
Because I think that's what it was.
Do it, he would have had to lose.
Yeah.
And then they went on with the.
So that's when they flipped it, and they had Hogan taking off Sid because Sid helped get him eliminated, and then they did that angle with Flair and Macho Man with Elizabeth, where she was mine before she was yours. But yeah, they flipped that because of that. Because Hogan wasn't sticking around. So why would you have Hogan beat Flair and Hogan going out the door?
Yeah. That's true. That is definitely true.
And as much as I love the fact that Bobby Lashley is taking on Brock Lesnar, even though I know it's going to end badly, that match should have happened 5-10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
And the only reason we're getting that, and the only reason we're getting it right now is because Roman got COVID and wasn't at day one. I don't know how you don't book that match like when you have like a year ago when you had both of them.
Because they couldn't do it to where Lashley lost, because everybody would have been like bullshit. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They could have made everybody believe Lesnar beat Lashley. Come on, back at them. No way. No way on earth. Lashley should have pummeled him into the ground.
Yep.
Now since Lesnar got this UFC thing, oh my goodness, let's kiss his feet. He was UFC heavyweight champion. I don't give a crap. This is pro wrestling. Don't get me wrong. He started off as a pro wrestler, but the MMA thing should not give him any type of advantage at all towards winning the match because it's pro wrestling.
Now, I'm not a Brock Lesnar hater. Not. Entertained with him when he's out there. Actually, more entertained on this run, to be honest with you, because he's not great on the mic, but drastically improved. My Brock Lesnar hate is him having a title. For one, he don't need it. Brock Lesnar is not more relevant by having a title.
No, he's not. But, okay, but I'm looking at this. Number one, Big E should have never lost that title. They should have did it to where they had. They should have did it to where like this is one ending that I love in matches, especially when it comes to big guys. All right, and people don't really expect it to happen. I used to call this in my matches sometimes because I love the ending. Basically, what happened is, let's say Lesnar is trying to do some power move, right? He picks him up. The Usos come, sneak around under the apron, pulls the feet from under him, right? Referee stays on the top, counts him down, 1, 2, 3. But at his feet, the Usos is holding down his feet. He don't have power to kick out. Big E wins the championship, walks off with the championship. Usos are screwing over Lesnar because guess what? He was trying to mess with Reigns. And then he can go after them as he's trying to go get to Reigns.
Yeah. And it makes the Reigns lesser match neater too. Because right now they got both titles, and you know they're not about to unify the belts. They're not about to put both belts on
know.
Them. So somebody.
No, hold on. I think they might unify them, but I think it should have been Big E the one unifying that belt.
It should have been.
And the reason is, but think about this: they have a very small, way smaller roster than what they had.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't need. They really don't need two main champs. If you the world, if you the main guy, you work both shows. That's how shit. Honestly, though, but as you're talking about unifying titles, I'm really hoping that's how the women's division go.
They can't help but do that.
Here's my hope. Now, I'm going to throw this out there, and if at the Royal Rumble this happens, you know I'm going to be the first one to say I was right.
Right.
I want Charlotte to win the Rumble. Because Charlotte wins the Rumble as a champion. She picks her WrestleMania opponent. And I want her to challenge Becky.
And for punishment, because of all the other stuff that's happened, Charlotte's going to lose to Becky.
Would anybody punish her, though?
That's what I'm saying. They ain't punishing her. It's coming. But it's coming.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. If this scenario is going to end with her losing to Becky, I don't want this scenario to happen because fuck that bitch.
Oh, it's
but I don't think they're going to punish her, though. I don't think so.
That's
normally
punishing.
Don't wait.
Check this out. Fox News likes Charlotte. Fox, not Fox News, but Fox as the corporate division loves Charlotte Flair, okay?
Exactly.
This is what they're doing. Hold on. Let me show you how they're doing it, though. Right now, WWE is showing, okay, we've had these problems all with Charlotte. You're saying you like her, but let us show you this. And they're showing Becky off right now. Look, you're not going to lose anybody if we let Charlotte go. So... let Charlotte go, and you promote Becky.
When you say let Charlotte go, let her go as champion, or let her go. Like let her go.
They don't let her. They might let her go, or they're just gonna put her so far down in the roster till she's gonna quit.
They'd be crazy to do that.
But they're crazy for doing all those stuff they did. I mean,
I'm looking from this standpoint, and I'll be honest with you, I probably got my triple H glasses on, and my Vincent Man glasses on, but I'm looking from the standpoint is Charlotte can walk into AEW. And that's a phenomenal division, just like that.
No.
Okay, not only do you have Charlotte would have vastly improved that division. Not only do you have a more credible name in that women's division, but the ones who's struggling are going to perform better.
I'm not saying that she wouldn't be improved the division. What I'm saying is she's not going to make it. Boosted to that point. Honestly, it's going to take someone like Ember Moon to be signed that was never given a chance because think about this. AEW fans really don't like Charlotte either. AEW fans look at her and think WWE. Rick Flair can say, oh, he was in NWA, WCW, blah, blah, blah. They think of her as straight WWE. They're not going to take to her. And she has to be the heel. She's going to be the heel.
She definitely got to be the heel. Without a doubt, got to be the heel.
But at the same time, though, this is what I'm saying. She's not at that status to where you could walk her in and she could take the TBS championship or the women's championship. She can't do that. And that's something that Charlotte is going to have to deal with.
I'm not saying walk in and take the titles. I'm talking about walk in and you're going to elevate the division. And I'm looking to elevate the division for the simple fact that, like, the matches she have, like, you put her in there with Jay Carhill, it's going to be a better match, right or wrong.
Yeah, of course. Yes, it's definitely going to be a better match. But if she gets in there with the bunny.
Charlotte's not Rick. Rick Flair in his prime can make the bunny look like a fucking superstar, but Charlotte's not there yet for the elevate.
My point exactly. My point exactly. Rick Flair could go in there and have a match with the bunny to make her look like she was Lita. All right.
Yeah.
Charlotte came.
I can't remember who she just wrestled. It wasn't last week, it was the week before. It wasn't Naomi. It was the week before Naomi. That match was horrible. And that was like the first match. No, that was the one of the few Charlotte Flair matches I watched. It was like, it was just bad. I couldn't remember who it was. But it was the week before Naomi on SmackDown. Just too many botches. Like, I was.
Yeah. She can't work. Charlotte's weakness is. And this is why I don't think the Cargill match, well, I don't know. I think Cargill could adjust to her, though. But anybody that has more power than Charlotte Flair when she's in the ring, she has a problem with. Think about it. What's my girl's name? Nia Jax.
Nia Jax.
I'm calling
her fight for real.
Nia.
But they were fighting for real. They were fighting for real.
No, but guess what that was? That was a power struggle to have control over the match. That's what that was. And she cannot deal with someone that has power and is more powerful than her. That's Charlotte's weakness. Charlotte can't be like Flair and say, oh, my goodness, this big muscle-bound person, chop down. All right, nine of them chop them down, make them submit. She ain't learned that yet.
First, they made a superstar Lex Luger who didn't deserve it.
Oh, boy.
That's my own personal feel for Lex Luger, no matter.
Yeah. I'm feeling you on that, dude. I'm feeling you on that. But
okay, good.
But Charlotte can't do that. And that's why I think it would be a little more difficult with Charlotte there than it would be without her. That's why I think Ember Moon taking the title. And going in there, winning a title, being competitive at things, everybody knows Ember deserves it, number one. She never got it. She never got a shot. They made her a damn ref in WWE when she was better than over 75% of that roster. You know what I'm saying? I know Booker T would sit up there. He probably was tearing his dread. Oh, he don't have dreads no more. Okay. That's probably why he don't have dreads no more, because of the way they treated her.
It could be. He probably tore him out.
Exactly. You know, I mean, Ember Moon should have been the future of an Ember Moon versus Naomi. Oh, my God. That'd have been a match to look at all day long. Because not only are they, and just like some guys, like, well, what's that skinny chick's name that was doing, what's his name's gimmick?
Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Oh, Alexa Bliss is so cute, and she gets on there. And no. You talk about fine. You got Naomi and Ember Moon on there. I'm sorry. Every dude is going to turn on the TV as soon as their girlfriend leave the room. I'm watching this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being 100. I'm just telling the truth. And their technical ability in that ring is just out this world. how in God's, and the athleticism is out this world. How in the world can you not have that match? That's another one McMahon slipped off.
I'm so pissed that they got Naomi in this bullshit feud with Sonya Deville.
I'm really trying not to think this way, but it just seems like every time you turn around, the WWE forces my mind to go in this direction. Why is it when it's a comeback or something like that, one of the African-American superstars has to take the fall first?
Yeah.
It has been a habit, a thing nowadays to where it's like, okay, we'll just say we got them, and then all of a sudden when it's time to push them, they don't push them. And then, oh, this guy's coming back, we're going to give him the title. Or this girl's coming back, we're going to give him the title. It's a pattern.
It's a bad pattern. And you got her in. And part of the reason is, and I get the whole, like, wrestler boss angle. I get all that stuff. Sonya Deville is not the counterpart for that. If it was a situation where, like, Paige was, let's just say, this exact same angle, you take out Deville, put Paige in it, and it leads to a match,
yep,
which leads to Paige returning, huge payoff. This match has zero payoff. This feud has zero payoff whatsoever. Do anybody really get too fussed about Sonya Deville wrestling again?
I honestly don't. Who was the MMA girl that was with Sonya that they treating like trash now? She's coming with a towel around her neck.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, shit. I know who you're talking about.
Shayna Baszler.
Yeah. And yeah, she ain't hurt me forever. Forever.
That's another one they slip it on.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly see her leaving. I see her leaving going to AEW.
She was phenomenal at AEW.
Oh, God. Dan Lambert already there, and she's known with her MMA? I mean, they just beating this guy. Like,
this woman
30
is
years
straight.
Worth of work.
She straight dominated NXT on the Triple H. And then they book her like shit. If they even book her at all. You have a legit badass. You don't even have to, like, build a storyline, you don't have to build nothing to get her over as a badass. She's there.
Mm-hmm. All she got to do is walk out the curtain.
And when she turned on Nia Jax and went on her own, I thought, okay, this could be the beginning of the push. And it was like, and she's gone.
Most disappointing day of my life.
Yeah.
That was disappointing. That made no sense whatsoever. I mean,
no, here's why it made no sense whatsoever. I had hope. I thought, and I honestly thought, because I hated the turn. I hated the breaking them up. But I was hopeful. I was really thinking, she's about to go on a Monster Hill run. She's about to tear through this division, win the title, and just run through these bitches. And nothing happened out of this. Nothing. You broke up the best. Honestly, you broke up the best female tag team you ever had. And there was nothing in return. You broke up the Road Warriors just to break them up. And I really thought Shane was going to get a push at the. I really thought Shane was going to get a push at the Nia Jax thing. Granted, I also thought they would have a feud after that, but then they released her. And they didn't do nothing with Nia. I mean, they didn't do nothing with Shayna. It was like, It's one of those who's booking this crap.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true as well. This is the thing, though. I'm asking these questions for a reason, and the reason I'm asking these questions is that, you know, we always have that talk, and we're going to continue having certain podcasts where we're going to be discussing, you know, the actual results of the match and how it, you know, affected us. But we also got to have these discussions as well, because these basic discussions that we're talking about is something that makes the industry grow. It's something that makes it interesting to us, to make us fans. And if we don't talk about this type of stuff, it's never going to get better. I mean, I'm not saying I want to make a change. I don't think Vince McMahon is like, oh, let me see what the Master Ride's talking about there. Yeah, let me see. Yeah, I'm going to take notes. Yeah, I'm going to take notes and get my egg. Yeah. But, you know, he's not doing it. But I think the more people that speak out, the more people that they talk about these type of subjects, wrestling can get better, so the next promoter or whatever, or what it might want to be a future promoter that's listening, and go ahead and, you know, put those changes in, and we all can be happy. I just think it's a shame that WWE has gotten to the state that it has, because even though it does make the most money, I mean, it's a cash cow. I never can deny that. But sometimes, remember that saying? It's a saying that my uncle used to my aunt actually used to say during spades, all money ain't good money.
You know. Yeah. Oh, so true. So true.
You know, and you just, this right here ain't good money.
No, it's not at all.
I honestly see in the next 10 years, WWE taking a real deep dive. Not saying they're going to go completely out of business, but they're going to take a real deep dive. AEW is going to step up because he cares. He literally cares about the product. And I think that's going to be a third company. I think a third company is going to come around and do some things to where they're going to have their version of what pro wrestling is on a major scale, and then it's going to be fun all over again.
I want to say we discussed it here last week. I'm not sure if we discussed it here last week or if it's something I saw in a group. I want to say we discussed it, though. Triple H leaving and going to Impact.
Triple H going to Impact?
Well, all the stuff going on in WWE, I'm saying, screw it. I'm going to do my thing over here or start my own shit. As far as a third legit competitor.
Impact's name has lost a lot of flavor.
It has. It really has. I legit think that Triple H got a Triple H said, like, screw Vince, screw what you're doing, I'm starting my own shit. I think he had a better start starting it from scratch.
No.
And the nice thing,
I think there is an organization out there that he could buy that he could go ahead and take it from there where it already carries a good name. And then he could build it. And I could see him being one of the top guys to actually build it to the level of something that could be good, and that's Ring of Honor.
Yes. Actually, and it's funny you said that, because when I was thinking about, like, either Triple H starting his own thing or taking on Impact, I was looking at the Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent in ROH mm-hmm. that you could use to bring something up.
ROH is some bad boys.
I love ROH.
I do,
absolutely love it.
I do got to say that sometimes they get a little too flippity, but for the most part, they beast, you know?
Yeah.
It's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are beasts. And I could see them honestly doing some things and him buying them, because with Impact, you already got an inflated name, so the price is going to be inflated. You know what I'm saying? So you won't be able to make that much profit off of it. Ring of Honor has always been steady at that mid-card type deal. So I could see them, somebody buying them for not a lot of money and making them grow to where it is a multi-million or even, you know, triple-digit million-dollar company. It just takes the right person to do it. I think Triple H is that person.
So
would it happen?
Without that person. Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah. I don't see Triple H doing it. I would like him to do it, but I don't see him doing it.
Okay. I was wondering, what's your reason for thinking he was going to do it, though? But you answered my question before I asked it.
Yeah, it's definitely. That's the reason why he wouldn't do it. You know, unless McMahon passes away, I don't want that to happen, but unless McMahon passes away and Nick Khan's being a jerk. Because Nick Khan, he's the president right now. McMahon dies, the board can vote him in control.
Yeah.
And then if you put Triple H like that.
And that's my whole thing, is it's like, I don't understand. I don't know. Hey, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes and everything, though, but it's just like, how, as loyal as Stephanie is to Vince, and we all know she's loyal to him,
mm-hmm.
How do you not make sure your husband in that position? And if he's not in a position, at least you are.
Because she's afraid of him. She ain't trying to speak up. She's daddy's little girl.
And the crazy thing is, though, so, because do we mention other, like, YouTube channels or anything like that that like, talk about wrestling or no?
Yeah, we could. I don't give a crap.
There's a thing called WrestleMania. I usually watch them to, like, kind of keep up on the rumors.
Oh, yeah, I watch them, too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What was I about to say? Because I went to this camera and forgot about that. Oh, shit. Shit. What was I going to say? But the whole thing with, like, Triple H and Stephanie is just, like, it's like everybody is scared to death of Vince, and nobody's willing to speak out against Vince. And I don't understand why she's in that boat. When it affects her,
because
you would
it's
think
all about going against daddy. Women, you don't go against daddy. You do what daddy says. This is the way it is with him.
It's just crazy.
Daddy says he wants you to stand on your head. You better get to standing.
And daddy say you going to get some bigger boobs? God damn it, get some bigger boobs.
Get the air pump. Get it done. Yeah, it's when daddy has control of a lot of money, sometimes right and wrong escapes the head, and no matter what, their word is golden. Been through it, done that, been there. Yeah. That got a little personal. Yeah, Bloomington. Oh, yeah, we're just going to say Bloomington and we're going to leave that alone. Yeah.
Hey,
but
did you watch SmackDown?
Where
you want to go back to?
I tried to watch SmackDown. I couldn't do it. I honestly could not do it.
Well, okay, real quick. Do you make it to the Roman Reigns stuff Rollins segment?
I saw that, and I was thoroughly disappointed.
Really?
Yes.
I enjoyed it. It's about the only thing on that goddamn show I enjoyed.
I did not like that at all. And I was like, okay.
Did you not like it because you hate Becky, or did you just not like it, period?
I just didn't like it, period.
Really?
It ain't got nothing to do with Becky. It got to do with who was in it, how it was executed. And basically, I felt like that I wasted a good 10 minutes of my life.
Damn, okay. I enjoyed it.
What?
That was like the only good, to me, that was the only good thing on the show. Because I was pissed off that Ricochet lost to,
Yep. Yep. I saw that one too. Not happy about that.
Pissed. Like, it's like, if you're going to lose to that jobber, make it like a screed finish to it. Like, the Leo getting the record for quickest win over Natalya is like, okay, but it's like, it did nothing. There was not a lot on that, on this show. And I'll be honest with you, I enjoyed Seth and Roman in the ring. I just wish that he had his person counsel Paul Heyman out there. It would have made it better. That's the only thing I liked about the show.
This was terrible. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Pepto-Bismol, Tums, I mean, you name it, give it up. Because this was, no. How can I say this? When I came out with Roman Reigns, and the reason why I wanted to see the Roman Reigns segment was because I've always said Paul Heyman is what makes Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Roman Reigns don't have one good line in his whole segment. He only got one good line in the whole segment. He needs Paul Heyman. He definitely needs Paul Heyman.
He needs Paul Heyman. He needs him bad.
But even without Paul Heyman, it was still the best segment of the show.
I couldn't stand the show to even tell you if that was the best segment. I mean, I'm just being honest. I couldn't stand it. And that's what shocks me, because at least one thing on SmackDown usually catches my eye. You know what I'm saying? And it's usually Paul Heyman, but at least it's one thing. You know, nothing. I saw Ricochet. I looked at that. And then when I looked at how they ended that match, I was totally
pissed.
That's
pissed
garbage.
About that
that's
too.
That's not even recycled like garbage. That's like toxic waste that you just dump in the ocean. That was terrible. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, it's going to get better. It's got to get better. It's got to get better. Okay, Roman Reigns coming out. Let's see what he can do without Heyman. And he flops. He flops worse than LeBron James playing the Golden State Warriors. And I'm like,
now, even though I don't agree with him, but he fired back with, like, you're not the best main eventer on Raw. You're not the best main eventer in your house. I thought he did pretty good on that. Granted. And here's another reason I like it. Everything self said was truth. Roman never did shit on his own, ever.
Neither did Seth.
Seth did more on his own than Roman.
I can't say that.
Really?
Yeah. The one out of that group that did the most on his own was John Moxley.
Well, John Moxley, that's different because John Moxley was the best one in that group. I had him, Mox, Seth, then Roman. Roman was the least important person in this show.
Which proves my point.
Mox was, we're about to go a whole different angle in this conversation because WWE really pissed me off. when they had the Shield, I really, and the way they started it, it should have been. Because Mox had the IC title, Roman himself had the tag team titles, but it was like, it felt like the group was featuring Dean Ambrose at the time, and they were like his counterparts. That's how it should have been. Dean Ambrose, John Moxley was the Shield. The only thing that Seth ever did as a member of the Shield to make it stick out was turn on him.
Mm-hmm.
Roman was just the big guy that Vince loved in the group. That was it. That's all he ever pulled to the group.
He reminds me of an egg. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to talk about that. I did not like that at all. That disappointed me so much. I mean, I'm seriously coming to the point of I don't even want to look at WWE anymore.
Now we got to look because if we got to talk on it, we got to look at it.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be honest with you. You want to know when I watched SmackDown? This morning before the football game started. Kind of like I watched everything else though, but like I gotta watch the show before we do the podcast.
Yeah, I tried. I did try, but I can't do it. And also, this comes to some other things. Speaking of like watching WWE and stuff, and having to see that. I know we hinted on it a little bit last week. We were talking about, I know you've never been to the Indiana Independence, watching these independent shows, and there are different ones out here. And I said that, yeah, we're working on something. Well, let me go ahead and just let a little bit of it down because a couple of people have already said yes. I myself think that the Indiana Independents are a very special place. We have a lot of talent that comes through here before they make it to WWE, TNA, bigger federations, GCW, stuff like that. For example, Calvin Tankman. You know, Calvin, he was, I remember him training. So that tells you that I'm getting old. But yeah, I remember him training. Don't Die Miles, I remember him in training. Ruby Soho, I think she went by Helena Heavenly when she was out here. She, was in the locker room with her. Congo Kong. I actually worked Congo Kong. So, this is a place where you get to see a lot of the guys that are going to make it up there before they make it up there. I've been in discussion with a couple of places, and I'm actually going to be talking to some more. March or April, myself, Tony Motown Allen, and Robert Black will be going to the independent shows. We're going to start a kind of a documentary, a docuseries. It's going to be on the Indiana Independents. It's going to be showing you, what the Independents are, where they're at, how did they start, who's their guys, stuff like that. We're probably, and I'm talking to someone now about getting things videoed, so this might be a actual live shoot. So I want you guys to be looking out for that because once a month, all of us is going to get together and we're going to go to these shows and we're going to talk about how to start, do all the interviews, and then we'll probably might call a match or two. You get to see a little bit of what they can do. I mean, it all depends on the show itself. So keep in touch. Keep staying tuned for the podcast. Also look on the message, the Facebook message board, things of that nature, to see where we'll be at. Then you guys can come along too and have fun, and we can all watch these shows together. But we'll be getting the schedule out and everything. Again, it's going to start either March or April. Haven't tied it down yet, but we're going to go to these shows and have a good time. So, Tony, what do you think about that?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to it because I'm not very familiar to the indie scene. And when we talked about it, it was kind of cool because when you mentioned all this and we talked about all this, I was like, I don't know indies. And the fact that you'd like that fresh eye on it, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah, because, see, since I've been in the business, I've ran shows, I've done almost everything in it. I have a perspective. Robert Black has called many matches on IWTV, Fight TV. So he has a perspective on it. And then I want to also get a perspective on it from someone that hasn't been there and has seen it for the first time and give it evaluation that way, because guys like you is what keeps the indies going. They don't ever know about them, but when they do find out about them, they either love it or hate it. You know, so.
And I'm looking forward to it, though, because I could definitely be that, like, unfamiliar eye to it, though, but yeah, I'm going to keep it 100, though, so.
right on. This is going to be fun. I'm thinking we're going to have some good times, and you never know. It says a WWE event. Because we're also, other news, we're getting listed as actual journalistic credentials. These few episodes with you guys tuning in have been wonderful. But because of you guys tuning in and the responses you guys have had, we're actually getting our journalistic credentials as well. So it's no telling where we're going to be at. You never know. Might see us at AEW Dynamite Dark.
They're nice. They're real nice shit.
Yeah. But all of that will be coming. We'll be giving more updates on the podcast and also the message boards, guys. But I say let's just end this one early because, honestly, besides AEW, the rest of this week was not that interesting.
Nothing happened in NXT.
Mm-mm. It's Braun Breaker.
Grant, I love Mandy. I love Mandy. Mandy's Wild Watch.
I'm sorry. I can't do it. I get what they're trying,
but it's just not. It's not clicking. It's not clicking. That's it. It's not clicking.
I mean, this is
Braun Breaker had a potential to be a phenomenal star, without a doubt. But I think they pushed him too. After they pushed him to the moon too fast.
I think he's going to level out when he gets to the main roster. But I don't. How can I say this? They need to watch what they do with him.
Yeah.
Because they'll lose him real quick.
They can, yeah.
I don't think Braun right now, honestly, I don't think he should be champion of NXT. I think Tommaso Ciampa should be still champion.
I thought it was BS that they took the title off Tommaso Ciampa and put it on Braun Breaker because I don't think Braun Breaker is there yet.
No. I don't think
he's going to put a belt on him. It's been enough. Yeah, exactly. It's too soon. It's too soon.
Tommaso Ciampa should be dominant until Braun Breaker comes up.
Yeah.
but I'll be looking forward to hearing that he's been future endeavored.
Tommaso?
Yeah.
It's going to happen because this is like, because Tommaso, he got his feeling. He doesn't want to go to Raw or SmackDown. Like, he likes how things are in NXT. But things are different in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's definitely going to happen.
And they already said that's not a place where people are going to stay. So,
but that's where
he wanted
to stay.
Up,
like, and I get why he didn't want to go. I get why he didn't want to go off, though, because it's like, for what he wants to do and the direction it was going with Triple H, that's where he wanted to be. He wanted to get called up.
And they
and
would
gotta look
not
at the
duplicate
time,
that.
And you got to look at the time he's been in NXT. He's been there for years. He wrestled with a lot of people who have been called up. I ain't mad at him for not wanting to be called up because he see how it goes.
Yep. But see, now since they're doing all this to NXT, he don't have a place to go.
The 2.0 bullshit? Yeah.
Yeah. He don't have a place to go, so he's gone. So this is contract up. He's at AAW. He's not going to stay there.
He's not going to stay there. And
go ahead.
And the problem that Tommaso Ciampa have is the fact that, like, he's happy where he's at, but he's also an older competitor. Like, WWE don't look at him as, like, the future.
Nope.
And they're not going to take advantage of what they can get out of him.
Mm-hmm. So what's going to end
before
up
we cut this short, wait, but before we cut this short, what do you think about Mickie James in the Royal Rumble?
Oh, God, I forgot about that. I mean, think about this. Does it really count as something?
I wanted to see the Rumble.
Deal out of this?
The only thing that can make it a big deal if, and before I say the if, they ain't going to do it. I know they're going to do it. But the only thing that can make this a big deal if they acknowledge her as the Impact Wrestling Champion.
Oh, that's going to happen. That's already said that's going to happen.
I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, they are. It's already done. That's going to happen. This is the problem with it. I can't say it's a big deal. This is I'm sorry. That's what this is. Because Mickie James, they will not have her win it. Now, that's when I'll believe that it's something if they actually let her win it. But I don't see Mickie James winning it. They treat her
like
she's
not gonna win it.
They literally sent her stuff back in a garbage bag. She let everybody know about it, and they feel like crap. And it's not like she's an AEW in their inviting her up. Oh, this is just little Impact. Yeah, she can come up.
Now, have you heard the rumors of like an AEW wrestler going to Royal Rumble?
I heard it. I just couldn't believe it. Now this is what I think it is. It's not a signed AEW wrestler. It's gonna be Brian Cage.
Brian Cage is actually a good option. Cause my whole thing, in my head is like, I can't see AEW learning, like. And with the whole Shield thing and Dean Ambrose in the club, everybody, the big rumor is like John Moxley is going to be it. I can't see that for two reasons. One, AEW, I can't see letting a big star like that doing the pay-per-view. Two, Moxie didn't leave on good terms. Like, he really's not a fan. Like, he don't like them.
Right. Oh, I agree.
Brian Cage will make up pick, but I just wanted the rumors I have, but I thought they were talking about somebody making a return. And Brian Cage was there, right? Or was he? And I didn't know it.
I don't know if he was ever there. I think he might have been in a training program, but he was never in the main roster at NXT.
Right. I think it'll be somebody like Billy Gunn or somebody on a totem pole that used to be there at AEW. I think it'll be like a Billy Gunn or something.
And you already put a trigger. You already see the excuse with that. Well, we had him first.
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal. I don't know why people are like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like, really?
So you say that shit. Everybody going nuts over it. It's like, I don't see Moxie doing it. I don't. Moxie loved the company, and, like, he didn't like them.
Yeah, he was almost CM Punk status.
Yeah.
It's Brian Cage. It's Brian Cage. I can guarantee that. Big guy, muscle bound, young. He can fly and he can do strength moves. Now,
if it's not Brian Cage, it's Billy Gunn.
I don't see them doing that. I don't know. Maybe Billy Gunn would do it if they paid him enough. If they set up there and they said, hey.
I look at the Billy Gunn angle for the point where, like, he's not a big fixture on the company. Like, he's not the guy. Like, he's not one of the top performers. But he's got the history with WWE.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I'm thinking it's Brian Cage is going to show up. Because you never know. His wife probably called up Vince McMahon herself and was complaining about how AEW was treating him and he needs to go to a better place.
I'm not even going to lie. I kind of, between the two, I hope it's Brian Cage, to be honest with you. He's a Vince guy.
He's a typical Vince guy. He's someone
no matter how much he's just like Vince. AEW ain't doing shit with him.
Yeah. No, that's true though.
They're not doing shit with him.
You see, that's what I'm afraid of when it comes to AEW. AEW is going to have a whole bunch of these guys that are talented and could do something. WWE is going to pick them up and purposely market them to be good.
Yeah. One of the ones I saw, and Eric's rumor. So I saw mine, so like, it's a rumor. It's a rumor. Like, don't take this to the bank. But they want Warlord.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. Wardlaw.
I can see them want him because he's a Vince guy. Like, he fits a Vince mold.
That's true, but I just don't see Wardlaw coming out and say just offer him a boatload of money, and I don't see WWE doing that. Now, this is what can get interesting here. If AEW doesn't sit up here and treat MJF right, I could see both of them. Look, if both of you come, we will give you X amount of money. Right, Jay? He's already made one from And I can honestly see MJF and Wardlow leaving because they offered him this boatload of fucking money. They got what, 275 million every quarter? So put 50 million to the side and wait till their contracts is up? I'm sorry. I'm loyal, but if you're offering me $50 million.
Exactly.
You know, I got to go. Take the pill and swallow it. I got to go, you know?
Yeah. It's like deuces or match it. One or two. Like, it's your pick. Match it or deuces.
And MJF is what they want.
Yeah.
They do it a Jenga. They do it a Jenga move.
And MJF is phenomenal on the mic. Phenomenal.
Best there is. Best there is. I love to see him and Heyman get together.
Oh, man, can you imagine that shit?
Boy. Him and Heyman would be golden.
Yeah.
My problem, but my thing is this. Do you understand what I mean by the Django effect?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Everybody, I'm going to take you on a brief little lesson in the movies. If you ever watched Django Unchained, what was Django and the little doctor dude trying to do at Leonardo DiCaprio's house? They were acting like they were bidding for one person, but they really wanted old girl.
Somebody, yeah.
So, they're going to bid on Wardlow, but say, but if they up can come along, you see what I'm saying?
Gotcha, yeah. Like, we bid on Wardlow because that's what we want in your eyes. But we were interested to both of them.
Yep.
Gotcha. And I'm sorry, MJF. MJF and WWE is 99 Jericho.
Oh, no. No. No, I can't give him. I can't give him 99 Jericho. I can't give him that. He's his own entity. He's just that darn good. He's that.
But it's on that level though. He's at that level though. Like he's at that level.
I would think more Roddy Piper, a modern Roddy Piper. In Jericho.
Really?
Yeah. His delivery and everything to me is definitely more of a Roddy Piper than Jericho. I look at him and see Piper. I look at him and his mannerism and everything is Piper. I look at Jericho and I thank God it's not this version of Jericho, but I look at the old Jericho, and he's a smart ass too. Don't get me wrong, but he was never that nail scratching smart ass, like nails on a chalkboard smart ass. Roddy Piper was that nails on the chalkboard smart ass. MJF is the same as that. Jericho didn't really irritate me. He was funny to me. Yeah, he was funny.
Me personally, I was like a Jericho's debut in WWE. It's like the best debut. And it was The Rock.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's for me. The countdown. That countdown to millennium? No, we're going to count down to me. And Grant, that's it. A lot of people said King Xavier is better. I already thought Jericho was better.
Okay, I think I got a better way to explain it. Jericho, to me, reminds me of the guy in college that talks shit to everybody.
Yeah, Jericho's that guy.
He can fight you, you know, blah, blah, blah. MJF reminds me of that dude down the street that talks shit and will whoop your ass. And he don't give a shit what he says, how he says it, and which language he says it, and how he's going to kick your ass, and which way he's going to kick your ass. But it's going to happen. Yeah. And he's rich on top of that.
Yeah.
I just, you know, he's that grown-up version of Jericho should have been. But I think Jericho got toned down because when he was coming up in WWE, it was more the Attitude Era. It was the Attitude Era was gone, and it was the PG, you know. So he couldn't be that cutthroat like MJF don't give a shit about doing now. And Jericho, it's like everybody talks about the New Day. And when they came out with all them colors and everything, it just threw them off, and they couldn't take Biggie seriously because he did all this stuff with pancakes and all that. That's the way it is with me with Jericho. Jericho did all that stupid stuff back in the day, and then he had to go through the PG thing until he just thought that threatening dude to me, you know?
Okay, I get you on that. Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. I mean, like I said, badass, straight badass. But yeah, MJF is that beast. MJF is that dude that wants to take your soul. I love MJF. Oh, God. All right. So next week, we're going to sit up here. We're going to get back on here. Talk to WWE, give some updates on the independent circuit that we're going to run. Hopefully, we'll be at a show near you. If we are, come on out. Plan it. Get it together. We might make an announcement of one show. I'll make an announcement of one show that one company you might be dealing with next week. I don't know if you deserve that yet. My heel's coming out. But guys, I do want to thank you for tuning into the FTW Future Focus. I am your host, the Mastermind, Bart Rogers.
Real quick, next week, Royal Rumble predictions. Are we doing that next
Royal
week?
Rumble?
In 2 weeks.
Royal Rumble
but
is
on
Saturday. It's on Saturday?
It's Saturday for now.
Okay, yeah, we do the Royal Rumble predictions next week. Definitely.
Okay. Because, yeah, so I like how it's working out because, like, next week we do our predictions. 2 weeks later, we talk about the show.
Yep.
But yeah, Royal Rumble this year is on a Saturday, and I think for the NFL, why they moved it.
Yeah, these games are getting good now.
Oh my God, yes! I love this time of the year.
Yes, go Buffalo, do your thing, kill them. I want to see it. Like
dude,
I told you, I want to see that first.
No. Fuck Buffalo. I'm looking at Tennessee.
Oh, God.
Chris has been whooping ass without Derrick Henry.
Yeah, no.
We get him back next week. When did
you
wait? What's your power of Tennessee?
Man, I'm sorry though. I mean, as much as Derrick Henry's gonna make an effect, I just don't want to see him win. I don't want Tennessee to win it. Don't get me wrong. I want them to win over Green Bay if it came up to it. Green Bay is the bottom of the basement, but you know,
yeah.
I don't want to see him win. I would rather Roethlisberger make some type of or have some type of miraculous comeback. And you know,
it's funny. We're going to football on the wrestling podcast, but because that's the late game. If Pittsburgh keep it close, going to the fourth quarter, they could win.
Yeah, they could. They definitely could. That's the point. Could.
And if Pittsburgh can beat Kansas City, you can't dismiss them at all.
No,
at
you,
all.
You can't ignore them. This is Roethlisberger we're talking about. You can't do that.
This man had a 9% chance of making it to playoffs going to last week and made it.
And I want to see them beat them. I want to see them beat Tennessee. I like them to go to championship game against Aaron Rodgers, and I want them to beat Aaron Rodgers.
And I want Aaron Rodgers to be first. No, I want Aaron Rodgers to eliminate for that. I want Aaron Rodgers to lose that week.
I wouldn't mind it, but my thing is, if he did have to lose, I would love for him to lose like that.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger goes into retirement with a championship over Aaron Rodgers. I love it. I love it. Oh, God, I kissed the TV screen. I'm just saying. Well, that's
before
our football prediction.
Before we go up there, what do you think about Lita on SmackDown?
Bleh.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Just like me there.
Yeah.
I was just like, huh.
That's why I didn't even bring it up.
And check out Frozo, so I'm happy.
That's why I didn't even bring it up. What? Oh, God. Lita should have took that offer from the AEW and came there. She was in talks with him and was supposed to go there. So I don't know is going to prevent her from. I don't know if it's going to prevent her from coming now, but she should have never.
I think it will. I think it will. It's going to be a matter of like her.
Yeah, but is she going to have to wait another 90 days?
Do the legends have 90 days? Wait. But do the legends have that 90 days not complete?
I don't know.
She's not a first-time competitor.
Yeah, that's true. It's a question that needs to be found out, but that's something I'm curious about. If she did this, would she have to wait 90 days and then go to AEW? And I would think AEW would be smart to say go. Because if she did that and went to AEW, that just make her more popular for AEW.
Yeah.
Oh, what a week.
Yeah. Without a doubt, yeah.
This is like therapy for us.
Oh, without a doubt, yes. It is. It really is.
Yeah, this is definitely therapy. And tomorrow, we're back at work. Ooh. Well, at least I am.
Yeah, have fun with that. Yeah, have fun with that. I'll be back for work on Tuesday.
Mm-mm-mm. Ooh. Had the hiccups. That was rough. All right, let's get up off of here. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week as I have the hiccups again. Don't forget that. Tune in next week. We'll talk about Royal Rumble predictions, more about AEW, WWE, and how fast did WWE put me to sleep this week. We'll go on average for 3 shows. Because I'm telling you, that stuff is better than Night Hall. I'm just saying. So, guys, thank you very much. You guys stay safe. If it's snowing in your area, and Ty, if you are listening, I hope you're safe. I know it's a snowstorm down there. So you stay safe. Get in touch with us. And we will definitely talk to you guys in the future. Thank you very much, and have a good evening. Bye, guys.
All right, bye, guys.
You know it's all about the power!